This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we continue our series, taking one surah at a time, inshallah, in order, and just trying to present an overview of what the surah is, and then choosing one important lesson from that surah, inshallah. Today's surah is Surah Yunus. And Surah Yunus is one of the Makki surahs that come after a slew of Madani surahs. You have Surah Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa, Ma'idah, and so many Madani surahs, and now you have some Makki surahs that are going to be coming up. And you have Surah Yunus, you have Surah Hud, and then you have Surah Yusuf. And even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these were three surahs that were revealed back to back. In the early days, some happened in the early days of Mecca, some happened a little later, but all three were revealed in Mecca. Surah Yunus, as you all know, that the Makki surahs, their themes are very consistent across the board. It is about Tawheed, it is about Risalah, it is about Akhirah, and these are the three most important topics, and not only that, but nations of the past that the Arabs were very familiar with, such as Qawmi Ad, Qawmi Thamud, and so forth. But there's one important, a very different take when it comes to Surah Yunus. And the ulama, they mentioned that it is not just about Iman and Akhirah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing on, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a little different of an approach, and he's emphasizing on Al-Qadha wal-Qadr. He is emphasizing on Al-Qadha wal-Qadr, which is also part of our deen and part of our faith system. As you remember, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was approached by Jibreel alayhi salam in the very well-known hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, wherein he asked that what is Islam? He asked what is Iman? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned what is Iman, and at the end of that response he says, "Wa an tu'mina bil qadri wa khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala," is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qadr and the qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, we all understand that though the qada and qadr is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a full control of what we do. There is a difference between humans and animals. There's a difference, and there's a reason why humans, the human being, is going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment, and the animals are not going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Angels, on one hand, they only have one thing called obligations. Animals, on the other hand, they only have one thing called free will. And that is why these are two creations that are not going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. On the other hand, the insan and the jinnat, they both have both the things. They have obligations and they have free will. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written everything that is going to happen, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the choice in our hands that we get to choose what is right for us and we get to make decisions. Allah has given us intellect, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being a special status because of their knowledge and because of their intellect. So no one can make an excuse on the Day of Judgment that, "Ya Allah, the fact that you had already written for me that I'm going to Jannah or Jahannam, this is why I am in Jannah or Jahannam." But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power to choose our own path of life. When you talk about al-qada wal-qadr, another important component is that we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. And we have that iman in Allah that He is the most wise. And when He does something, He knows exactly what He's doing. And that is why in this same surah, in the very beginning, the very first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions about exactly this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-hakim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alif lam ra, tilka ayatul kitabil hakim." And at the end of the surah, Allah says, "Wattabi' ma yuha ilayka wasbir hatta yahkum Allah. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings hikmah in the beginning, He brings hikmah at the end of the surah. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that everything happens through the wisdom of Allah. Allah has created a system, but at the end of the day, Allah has given us, you and I, the choice. In this surah, you will see that Allah, in the very beginning, He talks about why He created everything in the skies and the earth. And there's a hikmah and a wisdom of this behind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, interestingly, He says about the people of Mecca, He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Allah has sent down the Quran, but Allah is saying that these people in Mecca, the reason why they are ghafil, they are heedless from the ayat of Allah, is not because the qada in the qadr of Allah, but rather it's because of their own choosing. They chose this dunya over the akhirah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا. They're not even worried about the fact that they have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. They have no idea, or they don't even realize that they have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So this is not something that Allah can be blamed for, but rather they need to take the blame. They need to take the responsibility that they chose this dunya over the akhirah, and they chose dunya over the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we find in the same surah, in many places, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same surah, again, He talks about His qudra, He talks about His creation, and he steps away from that, and again, He comes back to the same idea that how He has created everything. Then, in the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges the mushrikun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges them. That first of all is that how can you even think that this is such a hard concept for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why is it so baffling to you that a man who was within your own midst and you knew him, you knew he was Sadiqul Amin, he was Sadiqul Masduq, and now you have a problem, and you have a problem with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made him a prophet? Why is it so difficult for you to understand? Not only that, he was amongst yourselves and he was just a layman and you had no problem. And not only that, but you have a problem with the fact that we gave him the Quran, we gave him the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have a problem with the Quran in itself, and you're trying to take out mistakes from the Quran. Khalas, if this is what you want to do, go ahead, try to replicate the Quran. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِي وَدُعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah is challenging the kuffar of Mecca that if you think that the Quran is something that is trivial, it is not so difficult to come up with, then go ahead, try to come up with one single surah to try to discredit the Quran. We also then find at the end of this surah, very beautifully, there's only three stories that are mentioned of the past. And you have to ask yourself, why these three particular surahs are stories in the Quran or in this surah? There is a story of Nuh alayhi salam. There is a story of Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salam. And then we have the story of Yunus, because fittingly, if it's called Surah Yunus, then of course it has to have the story of Yunus alayhi salam. There's only three stories of the past mentioned in this surah. The question is, why? And once again, these three stories, they tie into Al-Qada wal-Qadr. It ties back to the overall theme of the surah. How so? Let me explain. The story of Nuh alayhi salam, someone can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already destined that they are going to go to the fire of Jahannam. Allah had already destined that Allah will destroy them. Yes, Allah may have destined this, but they chose this path of theirs. We know from the stories of the Quran that one of the very first civilizations that started and developed the idea of idol worshiping was the Qawm and the people of Nuh alayhi salam. These are the people who started this idea and it continued into human civilization. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these people, they chose their own path. Their destruction cannot be put on the shoulders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they chose this path for themselves. Then you have the story of Fir'aun. And someone can say that, what about Fir'aun? Fir'aun took his shahada. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his shahada? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his iman and his faith? Perhaps, again, we come back to the same discussion of Al-Qada wal-Qadr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined
that this person is going to go to the fire, Jahannam, and he took his faith, then how do you answer that? And the easy, simple answer is that Fir'aun did not take his shahada out of his own desire. Fir'aun did not take his shahada because he actually had conviction in Allah and in the message of Musa alayhi salam, but rather he took his shahada because of fear. Because of fear, when he saw حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. This was such an arrogant man, by the way. When the seas parted, he was telling his own army that look at my power, look at my qudra, this is what I can do. Till the very end, when there was no fear involved, he kept on thinking that he is the Rabb, and he is the perhaps the only tyrant, the only arrogant in the Quran that is mentioned, that he called himself a Malik and an Ilah and a Rabb. He has mentioned all these things, three things about himself. Then when the time came that he saw that the situation was beyond his control and he has no more control anymore, that is when he took his shahada. And by the way, the condition of a shahada, as we all know, even in the Quran, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْ الغيب. You have to believe in the unseen. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even there comes a point in a man's life that when he begins to see the reality, khalas, his tawbah is no longer accepted. His tawbah is no longer accepted. Inna Allah yaqbalu tawbat al-abdi ma lam yugharghir. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a person begins to see the reality, the doors of tawbah are closed. This is a person who never accepted Islam and iman bil ghaib. He took iman bil mushahada. And that is why the ulama, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows within his infinite wisdom, because he is the all-wise, that had Fir'aun was saved in that situation, again he would have claimed to be a Rabb and a Malik and an Ilah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And then you have the story of Yunus alayhi salam. Say that, well, Allah had destined for them to be saved. Yes, Allah had destined for be saved, but you look at their story, and when they saw that Yunus alayhi salam had gone away, and they saw the storm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, they saw the adab of Allah coming, they turned to Allah at that time, and Allah accepted their tawbah. Allah accepted their tawbah. And by the way, this is one qawm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved, and these were not people like Bani Israel, that Allah saved them. And they turned, they transgressed against Allah. But rather, Qawm Yunus was a Qawm that they saw the adab of Allah coming. They made tawbah. And after Allah forgave them and Allah saved them, they never transgressed again against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never went back to their old ways. So this is what we find in this surah. Once again, the overarching idea is al-qada wal-qadar, and once again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us that there are a lot of things in this dunya that we may not understand the hikmah of, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim, number one. Number two is that all these qawms and nations of the past, including the people of Mecca, if they have an ending, a certain ending, it is not to be put on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they need to take a responsibility for themselves. Now, knowing a good understanding or a brief idea of what this whole surah is, just want to take one particular example from this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions. Allah talks to us about this dunya and the feebleness of this dunya, how weak this dunya is. Allah says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of this dunya, and he says, it is like the water that comes from above, and it goes in and it penetrates into the ground. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as a result of this water penetrating into the ground, it sprouts vegetations, and vegetation that benefits other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there comes a time that when a person, the farmer, he plants and the vegetation is, the earth is forthgiving, that a person says that now I am in control of the situation. I have full control over my land, and he thinks that khalas, my life is good and everything's under control. And he forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then says, أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there comes a time our command comes, and as a result of our command, everything becomes stubble. The entire, that land that used to be so forthgiving, it becomes stubble. And you have to ask yourself that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this kind of example? Because of the farmer. Because the farmer, he plants a seed and he waits throughout the entire year for that seed to sprout. These are people who make money at just few times of the year. So you invest time, you invest your energy, and you put so much into this land. And this land does give a little. But when a person forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is saying that Allah takes away everything. That all this hard work that a person has put in, overnight, without even people realizing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes everything away. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. Like as if it never even existed yesterday. You know what, if a tornado came through a place and it swept through a land or piece of land, you can at least tell that something was here yesterday. Allah saying that at times Allah will destroy something to the extent that you came there the next day, and after even months and years of plantation, you would feel like as if nothing existed over here. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy a person's land. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away someone's dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what dunya is. We work so hard for this dunya, and all of a sudden, overnight, the stock market crashes. A person loses all their money, and a situation occurs around the world from an economic perspective, and a person loses so much money. We see this kind of thing happen: the Bitcoin going up and down, and so forth. It goes up, our heart rate goes up. It goes down, our heart rate goes down. This is what the situation is of this dunya. Allah is telling us: no matter how much you think you are in control of your affairs, you have absolutely no control over your affairs. Allah is in control of your affairs. And Allah then says, let me call you to something. Let me invite you to something that is long lasting. Let me invite you to something that is going to bring peace to your heart and to your life. Wallahu yad'u ila Dar is Salam. Let me call you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me call you to Jannah, a place where there is no fear. You don't have to worry about the stock market. You don't have to worry about what the situation is, because the reality of this dunya is whatever happens around us, it affects our life. In Jannah, that is not the case. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in this verse, in these few verses, brothers and sisters, that yes, we live in this dunya. Yes, we work for this dunya. Yes, we are affected by our surrounding. But when we put too much into this dunya, when we put so much into this dunya, and then later on we feel that, alhamdulillah, I have a good understanding of the stock market, I'm this smart and that smart, and I know this and I know that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you have nothing. And you don't know anything. This is the reality of this dunya. And if there's one thing that we can invest into, an investment that we will never ever suffer a loss at, it is the hereafter. That is an investment that no person will ever suffer, inshallah, in the hereafter. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us from amongst those who focus on the hereafter. That while we're living in this dunya, we use this dunya to the extent that we need, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those whose focus is not this dunya and that of the akhirah. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.